Yes. Yes. Yep. Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah. I get something every time. If you will turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. I've had this thought running through my mind and running through my heart this week, and I will try not to be too long today, but I feel impressed to say this. Hebrews 13, verse 6, it says, so that we may boldly say, boldly declare, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. I want everybody to say this with me. The Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In other words, I don't worry about anything that's going on around me because I have an understanding. The Lord is my helper. Guess what I'm going to preach about today? The Lord is my helper. Jesus, God, I pray for your help right now. God, I need you today, Lord, to help me to preach your word. Lord, I recognize I cannot do this on my own. God, without your spirit enabling me, without your spirit helping me, Lord, I know that I cannot preach, I cannot say, Lord, these things. But I also know, Lord, that when you quicken my mind and quicken my heart and quicken my mouth, Lord, I'm able to speak, Lord, as you want me to, and able to say things that help people and penetrate the heart. And God, I pray, Lord, that the words that come out today, Lord, that they would not be just a pretty sermon, but God, that they would bring strength to us. Lord, they would help us. Lord, that someone would leave here today encouraged. In Jesus' name, everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the Lord is my helper. Act like you believe it. The Lord is my helper. Today I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I am going to take a verse of scripture and break it down into pieces. Actually, to be honest, I am going to break down only five words. Can anyone guess what they are? The Lord is my helper. This phrase has been running through my mind all week long, and I just can't seem to let it go. So I've learned something. I've come to understand something. When this happens, it must mean God wants me to speak about it. Because someone today needs to hear these words. I don't know all of your situations. I know some of them. I don't know all of your circumstances. I know a few of them. I don't know all of your problems and your troubles and your fears and your prayers and your desires and your wants. I don't know them, but I know a God in heaven who does. And he's quickened in my heart and said, I want you to tell each and every person here today that I am their helper. And by the time we're done here today, someone is going to get a better understanding of who the Lord is and who it is that that is at work in your life. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, let your conversation, that word simply means lifestyle. Okay, in the old English, and you bring it to the new English, what we would think of, it means, that word conversation means lifestyle. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Be content with what you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It was the writer of Hebrews, the writer of this book, who was teaching those new converts from Judaism how to live and trust in this God that was revealed to them. And so they had just been revealed. God had just revealed himself to these converts, and they struggled with some things and didn't understand some things. And so the writer was trying to tell them and teach them some things about God. He wanted them to know that they have a God in heaven who they can trust, who they can rely on, who will be there for them. And so he says, let your lifestyle be without covetousness and be content with what you have. Because he understood that it is the desire for stuff. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's the desire for stuff that makes you unhappy. Because you look at what someone else has, and you look at what someone else is doing, and you look at what all their, look at their house, you look at their car, you look at their clothes, you look at their things, and you look at their stuff, and you say, I want that, and then you don't know how to get that, and so you're unhappy because you're coveting after their things. And so the writer of Hebrews is telling them, look, don't be covetousness, or don't be coveting those things. Be content with what you have, because you have a Father who is in heaven. You have a God who is in heaven, who said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will always be with you. And as long as you understand that, I can go without a lot of things. But just knowing I have a God in heaven who I can trust, who I can rely on, who I can give my life to. In other words, if you trust him, follow him, put him first in your life, he knows what you need, he knows what's best for your life, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Why would he do that? So that you may boldly say. Why is he willing to look at your life and say, I'm going to do something with it, and see who you are and say, I'm going to make something of that? Why would he do that? So that you one day can declare. So that you one day can say without hesitation. So that you one day can say, the Lord is my helper. I want to break this down for us today. The first thing we must recognize in these first five, in these five words, is the first three. It's the same thing we recognize when we first open our Bible. If you open your Bible to the very first verse of the very first chapter, you have this phrase, in the beginning, God. It's the same thing the writer of Hebrews was saying when he said, the Lord is. There's no debate. There's no quandary. There's no misunderstanding. The Lord is. The first thing each of us must recognize is who He is. He is not just another God. He is not some mystical figure or some myth that is man-made. But before man ever was, He is God. Before the earth was ever made, God was there. He is the God. He is the only God. He is the first and the last. The Bible lets us know that He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. Before there ever was, the Bible declares that He is the I Am, the self-existent one. Can I talk to us today about who the Lord is? I want to talk to us today about who this Lord really is. I hope by the time I'm done, you get an understanding of who the Lord is. I simply got into my Bible and I began to look up every place where it said the Lord is. And I started in Exodus 9 and 27. The Lord is righteous. Exodus 5 and 2. The Lord is my strength and my soul. Song. He has become my salvation. Numbers 14, 18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Deuteronomy 10 and 9. The Lord is His inheritance. Joshua 22, 31. The Lord is among us. Joshua 22, verse 34. The Lord is God. Judges 6 and 12, the Lord is with thee. Judges 18, 6, the Lord is your way. Somebody needs to understand that the Lord is a way maker. He is a way maker. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. You need to understand today who the Lord is. The Lord is my rock, Samuel 22, 2, and my fortress and my deliverer, 2 Chronicles 13, 10. But as for us, the Lord is our God. 2 Chronicles 15, 1, the Lord is with you. Psalms 10, 16, the Lord is King forever and ever. Psalms 19, 7, the Lord is perfect. Psalms 19, 8, the Lord is pure. Psalms 23, 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 27, 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't know why, but there may be fear of what might happen in your future. But the Bible lets us know that the Lord is my light and the Lord is my way and the Lord is my salvation. Who can be against us, and why do I need to be afraid? The Lord is my strength, Psalms 28, 7 declares. Psalms 29, 4, the Lord is powerful. Psalms 33, 4, the Lord is right. Psalms 34, 8, the Lord is good. The Lord is nigh. The Lord is our defense. Psalms 96, 4, the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. 103 and 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Psalms 103, 17, the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. There is no end to Him. The Lord is high above all nations. There is not a nation in this world who our Lord is not higher than. The Lord is on my side. Psalms 18:6. Psalms 18:16. The Lord is exalted. Psalms 21:5. The Lord is my or thy keeper. So Proverbs 14:27. The Lord is a fountain of life. Proverbs 18:10. The Lord is a strong tower. Proverbs 22:2. The Lord is the maker. Isaiah 33:22. The Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. But I stand here to declare to you that the Lord has a name. That this God that we serve, this creator of the universe, this God of this entire world that holds the world in the palm of his hand, this God has a name. It is Acts chapter 9 and verse 5 when Paul was walking down the road to Emmaus and he was going to persecute the Christians. He wanted to kill them. He wanted to drive them out. He wanted to get rid of them because he believed in this Lord and he thought these Christians were choosing another God. And so he's walking down the road and he's going with the intent to kill them. And on his way, a light shines down from heaven and it blinds him and it knocks him to the ground. And he who knew who the Lord was from the Old Testament made this statement, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I know who the Lord is, but who are you?" In other words, what do I call you? What is your name? And Jesus from heaven says, "I am Jesus." I stand here to declare to you today that the Lord of the universe has a name, and his name is Jesus. And so when I say the Lord is my shepherd, his name is Jesus. And when I say the Lord is my salvation, his name is Jesus. And when I say the Lord is my helper, his name is Jesus. And when I say the Lord is my provider, his name is Jesus. Oh, somebody's got to hear this when I'm in trouble and I need a strong tower. The Lord is Jesus. When I'm in trouble and I need a keeper, the Lord is Jesus. This Lord has a name. The reason he has a name is because he wants to have a personal relationship with you. It was the same Paul who stood in Athens in front of an altar. The Bible calls it to an unknown God who said this, Acts 17:23. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." Now, he wasn't calling them ignorant. To us, and that's you don't call anybody ignorant. And really, if you call them that, you're about to get hit upside your head. I mean, if you call somebody ignorant, you're ready for a fight. Paul was not calling them ignorant like we think of the word ignorant today. When he was using the word ignorantly worship, he was saying, "You're worshiping without understanding. You're not exactly sure what you're worshiping. You don't know who it is. That's why you have the inscription, "To the unknown God." But it was Paul who said, "Him declare I unto you." He said, "I don't want you to stay worshiping an unknown God." He said, "I want to declare to you who this God is." He said, "So, him declare I unto you." It is God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that the Lord is in heaven and earth. He dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needeth anything. I don't create him. I don't make him. He's not formed by my hands. He existed before I did, and he made me. Says he doesn't need anything. He don't dwell in temples made with hands. I want to clear something up. God is not only in this building. God dwells in a temple made without hands. God dwells in our lives and in our hearts when we open ourselves up to him. He says, neither is worship with men's hands as though we needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and he hath made one blood all nations to dwell on the face of the earth. In other words, the same God made every single human being in this world. He is not, the Bible says, a respecter of persons. He does not care what your race is, what your nationality is, what your culture is. He doesn't care about any of that because he made it all. And he says, I love each one just the same. He has, the Bible says, hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. In other words, he appointed the times that we have. He appointed the 24-hour day. He appointed everything that we live in. He appointed the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun. He appointed it all. He appointed the bounds of their habitations. In other words, he set the boundaries of this earth. The reason the earth is not covered by water is because God said, water, you stop here. Land, you appear here. And you separate, and I set the boundaries. But why would God do all of that? Why would he go through all of that trouble? You ready? Here it is. That they should seek the Lord. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him. In other words, what he's saying is, the reason I created the universe and put you here is so that you would have a desire in your heart to seek me. And when you seek me, you will find me. Because the Bible declares, though he be not far from every one of us. How many understand that God is everywhere? He does not manifest himself everywhere. You know when he'll manifest himself? You know when you'll feel his presence? And when you'll know he's real? Is when you begin to call out to him. When you begin to talk to him. When you're in your room and you're all by yourself and trouble is all around you and you're not sure what you're going to do next and you feel hurt, betrayed, bewildered, not sure of anything in your life. But while you're sitting there all alone, all you have to say is, Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, please help me. And I'm here to declare to you today that he is not far from any one of us. That's why he can say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Because he's not far, he's right there. And he also says, for in him we live. I'm not of myself. It's in him I live. Whether I believe in him or not, he has given me the breath that I'm breathing. In him we move. Whether I believe in him or not, he created the joints by which my arms can move. He created the muscles that stretches in different directions. And he made the intricacies of this human body that no one could make unless there was a creator. I'm going to stop here for 1 second. It's okay. I'm only 10 after. Is that clock right finally? It's not. Close. All right, we're close. That's okay. I'll just keep preaching. Let me tell you something. No explosion, no morphing could ever create anything beautiful. Nobody would argue with me that there was not a creator that made this piano. An explosion would not create this. It did not morph from anything. It was created from something. There was a person who made the wood, who shaped it, who formed it, who put the strings in there, each one to its precise place, who tuned it to its exact notes, so that when you hit it, it sounds right and sounds pretty. Let me tell you, this human body did not happen from an explosion or a morphing. It happened simply because the creator of the universe said, I'm going to make man. That's why it is so intricate in detail. The reason it's so intricate in detail, because the Bible says the Lord is great. He's so great. He's so big. He's so powerful that all he has to do. Why is it that each one of us have a fingertip and a fingerprint that is uniquely ours? Why is it that we have these intricate pieces in our body that do all these things? Because there was a creator who made it. I don't care how much the scientists would like to throw all that out and try to say, there was a creator who made this. Nothing ever good has come out of an explosion. Nothing ever good has morphed into anything. I didn't mean to go there, because it's in him we live and move and have our being. As certain of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. I've told you today who the Lord is. How many understand today who the Lord is? Have I made that clear enough? I hope I have. Now let me break down one more word or one more part of it. And don't worry, I'm going to get quicker, maybe. The next word I'm going to break down is my. It's only one word. I can't get too carried away with that. We have the Lord is, and then we have the word my. You may say right now, what does that have to do with anything? And I have to say, it has everything to do with it. It's one thing to know who he is. It's another thing to know he's yours. It's one thing to understand who this God is. It's a whole nother thing that says, he's mine. He's mine. He's mine. It is John 15:7. He says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. In other words, if you're mine, and I'm yours, then you have a connection to God Almighty. The word abide there means to stay, to dwell. Here's what it means. Ready? It means to exist in an environment. To exist in an environment. For example, a fish exists in water. Right? It abides in water. What happens when you take a fish out of water? It's done. Yeah, you drop it in the pan and you have fish for supper. That is why when God created the earth, he said this in Genesis 11:1. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, let the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. In other words, you pull a plant out of the ground, and what happens? It dies. Why? Because a plant has to abide in the ground. If I pull a plant up, it won't be long until it dies, because God created. He didn't say create. He said, let the earth bring forth grass. He said, let that bring it forth, because I'm making a connection between the grasses, the trees, the herbs, and everything earthly. I'm making the connection to the ground. So let the earth bring it forth. Watch. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and the fowl, that it may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. He said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creatures that hath life. He said, let the fish come out of the water. Why? Because their existence is dependent upon that water. But when God made man, it was different. So God, chapter 1, verse 27, created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. He said, I'm not giving you from the earth to bring you forth. I'm not giving you from the seed to bring you forth. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of 2 and 7. I'm sorry, Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. What did he say? He did it. He put the breath in us. Why? So that I would be dependent upon him. So when Paul said, in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being, it was because God created us with the dependency on him. And so when I claim this God for myself, when he's more than just the Lord that I know about, he's more than the Lord that I hear preached about, he's more than the Lord I sing about, but he's my Lord. He's my Lord. I now have made the connection. And so the writer of Hebrews says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my. Notice I haven't got to the last word yet. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is. I know who he is. I'm claiming him for myself. And now he's my helper. Watch this. The word helper, and I'm almost done, comes from the Greek word Boethos, which is a compound word. Boa means to call, shout, or cry, usually meaning to call for help or aid. And then the second part of the word, Boethos, is the word thus, which means to run. The word helper actually means succorer, which we understand as the word helper. But the word succor has a Latin origin that means to go beneath, to run, to help. But you understand what I'm saying here. In other words, I boldly say the Lord is my helper. When I cry out for my helper, it's more than just using a phrase to get excited about. When I use the word helper, there's a God in heaven who runs to my aid, who has come to say, I'm not just gonna stay away from you, and I'm not gonna be silent and watch you in trouble, but I will come to you. And if somebody would begin to understand this, all you have to do is begin to cry out, begin to shout it, begin to call it, begin to ask God, help me. That is why in the New Testament, when that lady needed help, Lord, help me. He says, I can't resist that. I can't resist that. Why? Because I come to your aid. Let's all stand. And so today, I don't know all of your situations. Today, I don't know what you've struggled with. I don't know what you faced. I don't even know what you have in front of you that may be troubling you or bothering you. But I do know that there is a Lord in heaven. And his name is Jesus, and he is our helper. And so right now, I'm opening these altars to that one who says, I need him. I'm opening these altars to that one who says, I'm not sure of my tomorrow. I'm not sure of what has to take place next. I don't know what my future holds. But I need a God to step into my life. I need his help. I need his protection. I need his strength. I need his love. If that is you today, and there's people already coming, let me tell you, all he is just a mention of his name away. If you begin to call out to him and just say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need your help. Jesus, I need your touch. Jesus, I need your strength. Jesus, there's things I'm facing that I'm not sure what to do next. And Jesus, I don't know exactly how I'm going to do this. And if you don't help me, you see, I've left one verse that I haven't spoken of yet. And it's simply Psalms 124:2. If it had not been for the Lord who is on our side when men rose up against us. If it wasn't for the Lord. Where would I be? I would be in trouble. I would be in torment. I would struggle. Somebody, come on, let's begin to cry out to him right now. Let's begin to call out to him now. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, I need you. And I'm here to tell you today that the Lord is your helper.